will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord, I will sing to him a new song. I will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord, I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, I will sing to him a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him, I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him, I will sing to him a new song. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing it to the Lord all the earth. Oh God is great and greatly to be praised. Oh God is great and greatly to be praised. Yeah, yeah. Sing it to the Lord a new song. Sing it to the Lord all the earth. Sing it to the Lord a new song. Sing it to the Lord all the earth. God is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, God is great and greatly to be praised. Yeah, yeah. So sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. I will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord, I will sing to him a new song. I will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord, I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. Lift your hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. New song. Sing it to the Lord of the earth. Sing it to the Lord a new song. Sing it to the Lord of the earth.
We're going to have some clapping lessons, people. 1 Iana, 2 Iana, 3 Iana, 4 Iana. Oh, here, just do 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Next week, we'll work on it. Okay. You guys are beautiful. Shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, a and he's come to take my name. Love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is a power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grace. Gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down when I hear that trumpet sound. Gonna get up out of the ground while there ain't no. Gonna hold my body down. Fear is a liar with a smooth and velvet tongue. Fear is a tyrant. He's always telling me to run. Love is resurrection. Love is a trumpet sound. Love is my weapon. I'm gonna lay my giants down. Where there ain't no grave. I'm gonna hold my body down. Gonna hold my body down when I hear that trumpet sound. Oh, gonna rise up out of the ground, but there ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down. War between death and life. There on a tree, the Lamb of God was crucified. And he went on down to hell. And he took back every key. And he rose up as a lion. He set the captives free. Well, there ain't no grave. Gonna hold his body down where there ain't no grave. They can hold his body down when he heard that trumpet sound. Oh, he rose up out of the ground where there ain't no grave. They can hold his body. Sure thing. Jesus went to hell and took back the keys of death. And for that reason, we're here today. We have this assurance. I You walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. Life with illnesses, and our loved ones die, and they die in Christ. We have this sure foundation that, oh, we're going to see them again. Heaven is so real. It is so real. We forget that. We get so caught up in this world and everything that's going on and the noise, and we start dancing to the tune of the world. This is where it's at right here, what Jesus did. He reconciled us back to the Father so we can do this. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking. I'm going to fly out of that grave. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. Lift your voice. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to.
Savior.
moved by the sound of His voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calm and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on You. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on You. It is well with me. Me not to believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea.
some things in life that we dislike. One of those things that we dislike is talking about dieting. Changing the way we eat. Now, when we talk about changing the way we eat, to me, that just means using my fingers instead of a fork. Dieting is not desirable. It's not something we enjoy doing, especially if you like food. I've told you many times, I like food. I enjoy eating. And that is a huge hurdle for me. It's terrible when we go to the doctor and we hear them say, you need to change your eating habits. You need to do things differently. They go in there and we think it's just going to be a regular plain old appointment, and they decide to throw that mess at us. They tell us, you know, we need to do better. Now, they're not doing that to be mean to us. They're not doing that to chastise us, so to speak. They're doing it because they want us to live better lives. That's the doctor's goal. They didn't wake up that morning and say, I'm going to get them today. They want us to live better, live healthier, live happier. And let's be honest, if you've been a part of the medical if your job's been in the medical field, or if you've been exposed to that at all, they, you know, doctors, nurses, they all see the effects of poor eating habits. They see the clogged arteries or the enlarged hearts. They see the obesity in America today. And they just really have our best in mind. They want us to become stronger, healthier, happier people. Allow our physical bodies to function the way they were designed to function. Now, none of that helps. It's all still very hard, isn't it? It's all still instruction we don't like to hear, we don't like to process, we don't like the fact that it takes work and discipline and energy and effort. You know, when I see that plate of food in front of me and I say I want to go back for seconds, I don't usually resist. I usually go back for seconds. It's hard to discipline ourselves in all of that. It's hard to eat healthier. To hear them say, no more salt, no more sugar, stay away from carbs, all those crazy things. When the doctor gives us those instructions, usually we sigh, we say okay, we roll our eyes, and we really have no intention most of the time to make any of those changes. As much as we might say we will or we'll think about it or whatever, we usually don't. We might try for a little while, but then we say, this is no good. That pizza is just too scrumptious. It's too exciting. I have to have it. I know that we're all familiar with all of those plans and gimmicks and diets that are out there today, right? Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, the Atkins diet, Nutrisystems. We know all of those, right? We've heard, maybe we've even tried all of those. I don't know. I've come to understand that somewhere along the line, most of us at some point in our life have to learn to be a little bit more mindful of what we eat and how we eat. Believe it or not, Scripture talks about eating. Scripture talks about feeding ourselves. It talks about this idea of eating in a way that is far better for us. You know, instead of Nutrisystems, I guess we could call it the Jesus system, or maybe the Jesus diet. You know, maybe that's a better way to look at it. The first thing we have to do is understand that Jesus is far more concerned about our spiritual diet than he is about our physical diet. Not saying we shouldn't take care of ourselves or eat well or any of that stuff. But God's concern, Jesus' concern, is for your spiritual well-being. Your spiritual diet plan. See if you can pick up on some of the clues from Scripture as I read to you this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will be they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Did you pick up on the little bit of dietary eating plan that was laid out in our text this morning? I hope so. It was right there in verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know, everything that we just talked about in our physical eating, our physical diet habits, applies as well to our spiritual eating habits, our spiritual diet. See, like the physical diet, our spiritual diet is full of hurdles, full of things that try to stop us or distract us. We are inconsistent in our physical diets, and typically we are inconsistent in our spiritual diet as well. You know, when we're told to do better, when we're told to improve in our spiritual diet, we do the same thing as our physical diet. We roll our eyes, we say okay, and then we don't do anything. We act the same way spiritually. There's no question it is hard to change our spiritual eating habits. It takes discipline, just like the physical diet. And we don't like to put in that work. We come up with excuse after excuse after excuse why we still eat so spiritually poorly. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if some of us have never really even thought about this idea of a spiritual diet before, or spiritually feeding ourselves. So let's be very clear today. Just as our physical bodies need physical food to sustain life, our spiritual bodies need food to sustain our spiritual life. Did you follow that? If you stop eating physically altogether, never take another bite of food, you're going to die. You're going to waste away to nothing. For a little while, that might be okay. I could shed a few pounds, it'd be great. But if I never eat, if I don't eat properly, it's going to affect me physically. That same thing is true about our spiritual life, about our spiritual eating habits. An unbalanced physical diet, our bodies will not function the way they were designed to function. An unbalanced spiritual diet, and your spirit will not function the way it was designed to function. Think about an infant for a few minutes this morning. Just like that little infant, they start when they're born by drinking milk. That's what they have. That's what sustains them. But little by little, they are introduced to solid food. Soft, chewable, easy food first. And then they progress, and eventually they're eating their steaks and eggs and cheese and all that wonderful good food that God has given us to eat. Our spiritual life should mirror that in some ways. When we're saved, we get that that milk, that simple spiritual understanding that we need in order to accept God's gift of salvation. But once we are saved, we should be progressing into more solid food. Easy, simple, gentle food at first. Food that's easy to understand and we rightly divide. But eventually getting to that tougher, solid food that we need as we become more mature in our spiritual lives. We need to progress spiritually, just like we do physically. Spiritually, we need to learn to dig deeper and deeper into the truth of God's Word. Again, think about an infant, a baby. If all they ever did was drink milk and never progressed to solid food, that infant's physical body would never ever develop or grow properly. They would not have the nutrition that they need to become a well-balanced adult physically. The same thing, again, is true of us spiritually. We cannot survive on milk forever. We need the solid food of God's Word to strengthen us and to sustain us. There's references in Scripture about eating solid food spiritually. Let's look at a couple of them. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? And let's be clear, that jealousy and quarreling could be substituted with anything. Anger, greed, idolatry, adultery, any of those things could be plugged in there, quite honestly. Paul was very blunt in his conversation. He didn't mince words. He spoke very clearly and very plainly. In fact, he used an old movie quote before it was a movie quote, right? In essence, Paul said, "You can't handle the truth." That's what he was saying to them. He said, "I can't really tell you how it is. I have to dumb it down because you're not ready for it. You can't handle the truth. Scripture is telling us this, but you're not paying attention. So I've got to make it understandable for you." He says, "By now you should be ready to receive what I have to tell you, what I have to share with you. But instead, you're still stumbling around in your diapers like little kids." Paul shares some similar words when he writes to the Hebrews. In chapter 5, verse 11, we read this. "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." You know, as a side note, the Lord just kind of dropped this on my heart. It's not even in my notes. We struggle sometimes discerning good from evil, don't we? Lord, is this you? Is this what you want? Is this the direction you want me to go? Is the enemy trying to deceive me? Is he trying? Well, there's a little clue for us right there. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The correct food, rightly divided, eaten on a regular basis, is what sustains us. Our spiritual bodies need to be fed just as much as our physical bodies need to be fed. I'm sure every one of us somewhere along the line have seen one of those heartbreaking photos of a child or an adult who is malnourished, starving, kind of wasting away, some literally dying because of their condition. This image should be ingrained in our head as to what our spiritual bodies can look like if we are not properly feeding and digesting the spiritual nutrients that we need. I know that's a hard picture to look at. But if we're starving ourselves spiritually, that's what we're doing to ourselves. We don't get to see it in the physical, but in the spiritual, we are wasting away to nothing. As we grow physically, we need more and more food to sustain us to a degree. For example, a 7-year-old typically eats more than a 2-year-old does. And a 20-year-old eats more than a 7-year-old does, for the most part. All right? If we're active, if we have an active physical life, we need to eat more food than if we're idle and do nothing. You listen to anybody who trains or is in any kind of bodybuilding or sports, or, I mean, the thousands and thousands of calories a day they eat just to sustain their strength and their well-being. So if we're active, we need more nutrients, more food. And that same thing is true about us spiritually. When we're first saved, just a little bit of God's Word will be enough for us. Just a little bit will encourage us and will give us the strength we need. But as we continue to grow in our walk with Christ, as we continue to mature as born-again Christians, we need to take in more and more and more of that spiritual food to sustain us. And yes, I will go so far as to say you need even more when you are active in your spiritual life. When you are teaching, when you are leading, when you are mentoring, when you are evangelizing, when you are telling people about the Word of God, it takes more spiritual food for you to take in so that you can pass that on to others. We need that when we're active. We don't need it so much if we just sit back in our pew cleaners and do nothing. That gets us nowhere. Just sitting and listening and being idle or inactive is really of no value to us. Let's look at another scripture that really just jumps off the page to me. I've shared this text in the past, and I just want to share it again. We are told to hold fast to God's Word. We are told to obey God's commands. We are told that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And one of the things that God said through Moses needs to be etched in our minds. Deuteronomy 32, starting at verse 46. Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. I emphasized those important words there this morning if you're reading along. These words, Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, they are not just idle words that have been jotted down on a piece of papyrus for us to read hundreds of years, thousands of years later. These words are your life. They are your spiritual food, your spiritual sustenance. They are what gives you strength. The Word of God is our life. What we are to live by day after day after day. And they, much like this scripture said, by them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. They obviously were headed towards the promised land, but we're crossing over to a promised land too, are we not? by these words, we will live long in the land that we are crossing over to possess. Though we haven't mentioned it up to this point, we've really been focused on God's Word. But equally important to God's Word and our spiritual diet is prayer. That's just as important for us to take in. It's a part of our everyday living as well. It is a part of our life-sustaining diet. In Matthew chapter 6, also a part of the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, where all these Beatitudes have come from, Jesus teaches us about prayer. Listen as we read chapter 6, starting at verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. When your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him. From there he goes on to teach us the Lord's Prayer. I want us to notice something in this text. What I just read, 5 through 8, verse chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, four verses. In four verses, three times Jesus says, when you pray. In four verses, he repeats it three times. He doesn't say if. He doesn't say, you know, by chance, if you, you know, happen to think of a few words to say to me. He doesn't say, I would suggest you do this. He says, when you pray. See, there is an assumption made here that as a believer in Jesus Christ, part of our daily diet will be to pray and seek God's face. That is a part of our diet. As Christians, we need to read and study and understand the Word of God, and we need to pray. Now, prayer is supposed to be done privately and publicly. If you look at Scripture, there is reference to both of those. We are to pray corporately together as we prayed this morning for Rich, for Colleen. We are to pray corporately, but we are also to pray privately. Go to our prayer closet, shut the door. Now, that's not an actual physical prayer closet. You don't have to lock yourself into some little broom closet hole. It's meaning go away by yourself in an area where you're not disturbed and pray and seek God. If you have not watched, or it's been a long time since you've watched the movie War Room, go back and watch it again. It's an incredible movie all about prayer. I'm going to be somewhat bluntly honest with you this morning as well. Just like Paul was to his readers. I'm going to be honest and tell you I am absolutely dumbfounded by Christians who think they do not have to study the Word of God or they do not have to pray. That they can just coast through life. And don't think I'm making it up. It exists. It's there. Another thing, Lord's popped this into my mind. I hadn't planned on saying this either. My son's doing a class, and he got a survey. And in this survey, it talks about the state of theology, the state of belief in America. And one of the questions says that the Bible is the absolute authority to the Word of God. And out of all the evangelicals, not everybody, but all the evangelicals that responded, 100% said yes. Bible's the absolute supreme authority. But majority of the other things they disagreed with, which were also Scripture. So they're disagreeing with individual scriptural items, but they're saying the Word of God is all authority. How can you do that? How can you speak? The Word of God talks about being double-minded. That's an idea of being double-minded. We can't say it's the supreme authority and then not live by it, not agree with it, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it might be, no matter how much it presses against our personal beliefs. If it is the supreme authority, then it is the supreme authority. Not pieces and parts and bits. I don't understand how people can go through, how Christians can go through life and think they just occasionally need to sip on that little bottle of spiritual milk and everything will be just fine. Folks, we either have to be interested and sold out and involved in the Word of God, or quite honestly, forget about it. Because being lukewarm is of absolutely no value to anybody. Look at what he said to the church of Laodicea in Revelations. You're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. There's no value in that whatsoever. If you're not interested in the Word of God, if you're not interested in growing spiritually, if you're not interested in becoming who God wants you to be, then just set it all aside and forget it about it. Eventually you will wither out and die spiritually. But if you're interested in becoming who God wants you to be, if you're interested in maturing in your relationship with Christ, if you're interested in that reward that ultimately someday waits for us, then you need to be digging in to the meat of Scripture, not the milk of Scripture. Milk's got its place, but it's not where we need to be as we mature. If we can understand that, even in the slightest, we can begin to see how God fills us and encourages us and nurtures us. When we start craving that solid food, we will move on from that milk that we've been drinking for so long. Okay, so now here's a little practical application for us. Here's a little test, if you will, for us today. Keep in mind, this is one example. Don't think that I am telling you the only way you can test yourself is by this. That's not true. There's many ways you can test yourself to see how you're doing. This is just one way of testing where you are in your spiritual diet. Just over 3 months ago, we challenged you to start memorizing Scripture. Every week, there's been a Scripture reference and a verse or multiple verses, as the case may be, for us to memorize. They are printed out. They are put on a sheet of paper. They are in the foyer on that little round table. How are we doing at memorizing that Scripture? Are we even trying to memorize that Scripture? If you'll recall, when I first introduced this 3 months ago, I said there is no excuse whatsoever for any of us to say I can't do it. Because we can memorize anything we want to memorize. Song lyrics, movie quotes, recipes, whatever it might be, we memorize. But we put no effort into memorizing Scripture. So how are we doing on those memory verses that have been out there week after week? Are we just ignoring them, hoping Pastor will never bring them up again? Guess what? I just brought them up again, didn't I? By now, in just 3 months, that's really not all that long, but by now we could have as many as 30 verses of Scripture memorized. Or we could have none. What's our diet look like? What kind of food are we consuming? We could be on our way to feeding our spirit with a good, healthy, balanced diet of spiritual food. Or we could be further starving our spirit and watching ourselves waste away by neglecting the diet we have been given. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. He was not talking about whoever eats the most burritos. He was not talking about whoever drinks the most water in a day. Jesus was talking about those of us that put everything into growing spiritually, into nourishing our spiritual body. Never, ever, ever will you find him say, "Blessed are those who wait around for an easier way." You won't hear him say that. You won't hear him say, "Blessed are those who ignore the plan that I'm giving them." We can do that for our doctors in our physical life if we don't want to be better. But we cannot do it with God in our spiritual life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. That statement also communicates action. See, we're not force-fed. We're not put on spiritual feeding tube. We have to seek. We have to go after. We have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. It has to be our focus. If I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning right now and this is my routine, hungering and thirsting for righteousness is getting up at 5:30 and getting into the Word of God, then going about my routine. Getting up at 5:30 and praying and then go about my routine. If I go to bed at, in my case, 8:59 every night, if I go to bed at this time, what am I doing before I go to bed? Am I hungering and thirsting over God's Word? Am I filling my mind and heart with spiritual things? Or am I too consumed with planning tomorrow and wondering what tomorrow is going to be and bringing up tomorrow's thoughts and ideas? Hunger and thirst for righteousness, then we will be filled. But we have to have that action, that drive, that desire. By the way, hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's the thing that Jesus tells us to hunger and thirst for. Do we understand basic concepts here? Righteousness is all about correct, moral, godly behavior. Repenting from our sin. Seeking Him. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a life that's wholly committed to living according to His plan and His purpose, which, by the way, is the very thing we need to receive our reward, which awaits us in the land yet to come. Do you see how Scripture ties so much stuff together? One thing leads to the next. These are not all little individual bites. We grow, we mature, we become who we're supposed to be. We continue to see God's plan in our lives. Those that hunger and thirst for a right life with God, they will be filled with the eternal sustaining life that only comes from God. Hunger and thirst for God, He will fulfill you. He will fill you spiritually. But you're not going to get it anywhere else but through God. I pray the Lord helps us to start taking better care of our own spiritual bodies and truly better understanding our own spiritual needs. You know, we're all at different places, we're all at different levels, but the bottom line is we should all be growing. We should all be moving from that milk to the soft food to the more hard to chew meat and understanding Scripture and building our relationship with God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that this day. Help us to learn that we need to move forward. Help us to learn that we need spiritual nourishment for our lives to survive and to flourish and to do well. Lord, help us to understand how important that is. Lord, help us to dig into your word, dig into that meat, chew on it, digest it. Ask you to give us wisdom and understanding it, Lord. Help us to pray. Help us to know the importance of prayer, public prayer, private prayer. Help us to know what it means to us spiritually as well, and how important that is, and we can connect with you and grow in you. God, I pray that our diets, spiritual diets, would become well balanced in your word and in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.